I owe Christopher and Carolyn a huge amount over the years, not least for setting me up outrageously with Nikki. So they are the matchmakers behind our marriage. If you want to ask a question about that, then you can ask Christopher tomorrow at the question time. But you are both two of the most self-deprecating people I know. So if I ask you to introduce yourselves, we're not going to get anything useful. So why don't... Do you want to introduce one another? Carolyn, I was told I hadn't really talked up Christopher enough the other day. So someone said we haven't made enough of Christopher coming. So I've then tried to big him up as best I can. Hopefully people are expecting now a kind of cross between a spiritual Einstein, spiritual Arnold Schwarzenegger. How accurately does that describe Christopher? What is he like?
So I love the Christopher that does things in the shed and makes wonderful things like that. He's recently made me a what did you make? A bookcase.
And a picture frame.
I'm very proud. So no, I love him dearly, but I married a school teacher and something happened and he became a minister and then I married, you know, I've been married to all kinds of different people, really. yes, I don't quite know what to say, but...
Do you want to tell us, how did you meet one another?
So we were both teaching. I was in my first year of teaching. Christopher taught maths, and I didn't think that was a very exciting beginning because my maths is so bad, so I was convinced he wouldn't want to marry me. But he...
Which shows a sad lack of understanding of how men work.
But helpfully he stopped teaching maths and then became a minister. I felt that I could understand what he was teaching then. Yes.
Since marriage, tell us about your family.
So God has entrusted us with three sons and a daughter. I have to try and think about that. And various pets along the way. And now we have six grandchildren, which is amazing. I'm not quite sure how that happened, but it's a wonderful, wonderful stage of life to be at. We live in Cambridge. And find ourselves often driving to see the grandchildren, don't we? But also we end up doing lots of things in ministry as well. One of the great things is that I get to go with Christopher to things like this. So my job is often to pray for him as he prepares for some of these things. I haven't really told you that he does write he has written quite a few books. So can't remember how many books you've written, but certainly the first book he wrote, I wasn't quite sure how it would work. You know, what is it being like married to somebody who writes books? And he, you know, he used to come downstairs from his study and talk about the things he was writing. I was thinking, gosh, yeah. So I became sort of Mrs. Romans and Mrs. Job at all sorts of different times, depending on which book he was writing. But it's been a great joy, as well as lots to pray for. It's not really very helpful.
Thank you. I think you've made my point about being self-deprecating. Christopher, tell us, what do we need to know about Carolyn?
Carolyn is lovely. She's been a wonderful mum. She's a very good granny. And she's very active in the church we belong to in Cambridge, in St. Andrew the Great Church. She serves on the PCC, the Parish Church Council. And she co-leads one of the ladies' morning Bible study groups. And I know from our prayer times how well she looks after them. And she reads the Bible with a number of different women during the week and encourages them and loves them and looks after them. From the time we lived in London, Carolyn has served on the board of an excellent organisation called the London City Mission, which is a really fine city mission organisation that has missionaries working in all different parts of London and reaching all different communities in London. And Carolyn still serves on the board there. So are you going down? Was it last Monday? Yes. She goes down for the board meetings and has a number of involvements there. She's been chairing the HR committee for London City Mission. So I'm very proud of Carolyn, really. My job is to look after her, but she thinks her job is to look after me. So it's a good arrangement.
And Karen's told us how you met each other. Do you want to tell us, how did you meet the Lord Jesus? How did you become Christians yourselves?
So I have the privilege of having a mum who prayed for me right from very early on. Well, I suppose I was very, very wee. And then she used to teach in a Sunday school, and at age 4 took me along to Sunday school. And I don't know whether, and looking around at you, whether you would remember Billy Graham and the early crusades that Earls Court. I was 9 at the time, and I went forward there, and so amazing to think of that time, and so grateful for that man and his ministry. And then gradually over the years, the Lord has put me in places where I have been fed and taught, and then I met Christopher and brought me into something called the Proclamation Trust, which we both used to work for. And so wonderful to find out that the Bible is so trustworthy. So it wasn't, I had to learn that it wasn't just about my emotions, but actually it depended on something far greater, on God's truth and his word. And that's been so precious to me. Yeah.
I came to faith in Christ when I was 17. I've been brought up, as perhaps some here have been brought up, where Christianity was, it was like the wallpaper in the background of life. I guess for younger generations, for some of the younger ones here, they would never have known that. But for my generation, Christianity was just sort of there in the background. And I suppose I assumed in my childhood that it was probably true, but I hadn't really thought about it. And then when I was 17, a friend at school invited me to one of these Christian summer ventures or camps. And I heard the gospel, listened. I may have heard it before, but I listened for the first time. And God, in his kindness, drew me to begin to put my trust in Jesus. So that was just a year or two ago.
There are so many questions I want to ask, and I'm hoping there'll be lots of time for questions over the weekend. We've got a good slot tomorrow after lunch, and should be some time after the talk this morning. But just a couple of areas that we might like to dive into further in questions. Christopher, you were the pastor of a village church, and I think all three of our churches are very much village churches. We want to be serving our community. Any kind of tips on what does it look like to be a good village church that serves the folk around us well?
That's a really good question for those of you at St. James's or St. John's or St. Martin's. Ours was called All Saints, a little village called Little Shelford, just outside Cambridge. I'd never lived in a village. I was brought up in London. I'd always lived in cities all my life. So it was a new thing for me to live in a village and to begin to understand village life. And the thing I noticed, and it may be different here because we were in East Anglia, but village life was a funny old thing. There were people who'd lived in the village all their lives who really did know one another and cared for one another and cared about one another. And I noticed that when I started doing one or two village funerals, you really got to know people who'd lived in the village all their life, who were properly members of the village. And then there were others who come in more recently, who some of whom thought of the village as more of a dormitory. You know, they would go and sort of really belong somewhere else, but just happened to sleep in the village. And it took me a while to try to work out how best to be a beacon of light for the good news of Jesus in the village. But just trying to work hard at building, I mean, I was a newcomer, of course, as any new vicar is in a village, but trying to begin to build trust with people and get to know people. And the members of the church were just wonderful at building relationships with people in the village, you know, their neighbours, getting to know them, getting alongside them, loving them, caring for them, that kind of thing. That's not very specific, but just I was very aware that the advantage of village life is that people relate to people that they're seeing day by day, week by week. Whereas in city life or big towns, you're relating to people in networks, you know, the people you happen to work with or the people you happen to meet at the school gate or whatever it may be. But in villages, it is more local, isn't it? And so you can build relationships better. So I think we learned to be a bit more relational. But I'm a city boy, really, so I don't really know the answer.
I'm just kind of touching on a couple of areas that I think we might want to push further in other question times. Karen, Chris was mentioning that you're very involved with women's ministry around the church that you're at the moment. We've got a very active Mothers Union in the area, and in particular at St. James. Someone might say, well, why do we need that? Why do we need ministry to women particularly? Why can't we all just be together and do things together? I guess that's a question. And kind of what tips have you got for women's ministry? Because I know there are lots of folk who are involved in serving women around the congregation here. So any thoughts on either of those two areas?
I absolutely love spending time with women. I don't know whether you've noticed, we're very different from men. But the Bible talks about the household of faith, doesn't it, quite a bit, and especially in Timothy. And in Titus as well, it talks about women getting alongside other women. And I just think there's so many opportunities for this. And whichever church you're in, there's always another woman to get alongside. And it talks about the older woman getting alongside the younger one. Well, there's always somebody younger than you. I remember waking up one morning thinking, gosh, I think I am that older woman. And I noticed actually that people open up more readily to me now. Maybe it's because I've got grey hair or something, I'm not quite sure. But just, you know, a cup of tea and a Bible together. And just, let's look at the treasures here. There is so much in God's word for us. And as women, I guess we are in all different stages of life, single, married, bereaved, divorced. There's so many opportunities. We all need Jesus. And I don't know, I've had some very precious times with people. And I'll tell you about one or two women I'm meeting up with. I won't give you their names, but there's a lady who'd been coming to church for many, many years, and she's just not very confident. And I got alongside her, and we started meeting up for coffee, and eventually met up in our homes. And we looked at a Bible passage together, and we said, well, why don't we read this Christian book? You know, there's so many of these good Christian books around. Why don't we read this together? So she read a chapter, I read a chapter, we talk about it. And so it wasn't a difficult thing to do. And it has been really special to watch her faith just grow. And that's been very precious. And maybe another lady who's having a tough time at work and a tough time in her own life. And we get together and we pray and we talk about it. And I try and point her to the way the Lord is the answer to her difficulties. And it's just, you know, I just think to myself, how is it I can help them? Well, it's because I've been alive a bit longer and I know something of the Lord's faithfulness to me, and I can pass that on. And I'm sure a number of you could say that, and that's such a privilege.
Yes, yeah, it's lovely seeing that dynamic working itself out across the three churches. I feel like there are so many questions we could keep going. Christopher, I'd love to ask you about the Psalms, which I know you're writing a big commentary on at the moment. Just kind of thinking we're keeping half an hour time. That first book that Carolyn was talking about that you wrote was a book about marriage, kind of real doorstop on marriage. So that means you guys must be the experts on marriage. You have written a couple of books on marriage. What tips have you got for couples thinking about how to have a marriage that honours Jesus? Any kind of first thoughts on that again we might want to dig into in question times later?
Do ask in question time. I wrote a big sort of heavy footnotey book on marriage. I subtitled it Sex in the Service of God, so I got the S word in, hoping it would sell a few more copies, but it hasn't sold very many. It's actually really dull.
There was a very awkward moment once where Christopher was lecturing from the front and asked if anyone in the room had read it. There was kind of, I don't know, what, 60 of us in the room. And mine was the only hand that went up. And the thing that made it really awkward was that Nikki and I have been going out for 2 weeks and she was sitting next to me at the time.
I think in answer to your question, the big thing that I've been trying to emphasise is that marriage is, those of us who are single in order to serve God and love Jesus and his gospel. Those of us who are married in order that through our marriages we can serve God and love Jesus and his gospel. And therefore to think of marriage as an outward-looking thing, whereas our society regards, whether it's marriage or just living together, regards it all as an inward-looking thing, you know, how we can enjoy life with each other. Whereas the Bible is encouraging us not just to do that, but to look out and to think there's a needy world out there that needs the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So that's probably in a kind of tweet length summary of the big emphasis of it.
And do you want to tell us about your latest book? Just been out a couple of weeks. Intriguing title, the book your pastor wishes you would read but is too embarrassed to ask.
I've written a little book and I would love you to get this and read it, because Simon won't be able to tell you to. So it is called, it's got this slightly cheeky title, The Book Your Pastor or Your Minister Really Wants You to Read, brackets, but is too embarrassed to ask. And it's about how we as church members can look after those in ministry, our ministers and pastors and so on. And I thought I can write it because nobody's paying me or housing me. It's a bit awkward for, you know, a serving vicar or minister to do, because he's like saying, come on guys, raise your game, look after me better. But I can do that because nobody's paying me or housing me and so on. So I've written this little book. It's a very tiny little book. It won't take you very long to read. But it's just saying, how can we encourage those who serve us in ministry to do it well? How can we make their work a joy rather than a burden, which is what the letter to the Hebrews says. We should try and make their work a joy. I'd love you to read it and to encourage others to read it. It's a difficult sell, because normally the minister will say, here's a book you should read. But the minister can't say it for this one. So we've got to be a bit subversive. So if you know people who belong to other churches, say to them, look, here's a book we should be reading. Our ministers won't tell us to, but we should be reading. But I'd love you to. I'm praying it'll be useful.
I remember we talked a couple of years ago, just a few months after we'd moved here, and you told us you were writing the book, and how hard it was to find examples of ministers who were being well looked after. And I'm now remembering, I promised to email you, because Nick and I were feeling so well loved and so welcomed, and yes, the examples of things that the folk had done for us, and I've now realised I forgot to send that email.
You could have been in the book, couldn't you?
I should have been. We could have been famous. Yeah. We could have been famous.
The whole book could have been dedicated to your church.
I have so many more questions. I would love to ask them, but I think even more exciting than listening to Christopher and Karen is listening to God himself. So should we pray? Karen, would you be happy to pray for us now as we listen to God's word, and then we're going to sing again, we're going to read a bit more, and then Christopher's going to open it up to us.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much that we have been able to come here on this special day, and we pray that you would soften our hearts, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you are speaking to us and saying to our hearts. We pray that we would go away from this day changed by you on the inside. We know that we can't do that, but you can do that by your Holy Spirit. And pray for each one here in this room and those helping, that no one would go away untouched. Father, we pray that you would take what Christopher says and speak it to just where we need to hear it. And we thank you so much for your word. We pray that you give us good concentration and that we would be able to hear well. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you both so much. Do you want to take a seat?